Who's heard that name before? Let me see your hand. Wow, most of you. I'm impressed. Do you know where he was born? Do you know how old he was when he died? Do you know that he preached at the Angelus Temple in Los Angeles, California, and I preached there too? I just think that's so cool. He's born in England in like 1859 and died in 1947. He was a plumber by trade, but God used him. He had severe hemorrhoids, and he tried everything. So one day, he got anointing oil. He anointed himself and prayed, and they were gone, which launched him into laying hands on sick. He used to, if somebody came in with a cancerous tumor in their stomach, he'd punch them right in the stomach and declare the name of Jesus for them to be healed. He would have hundreds of thousands of people following him. So I'm thinking about the story about him, about the enemy coming against you. I remember one story. He was in a room, in a hotel room in England, London, England. And he'd been preaching. God'd been using him. I think the story is that it's verifiably that he prayed over 14 dead people and they came back to life. Now, he prayed over hundreds, but out of those, 14 of them came back to life. You know what I'm thinking about all this? I'll get to the story. But, you know, sometimes we can get so smooth and so calculated in things that we would never really think about doing anything like that. I'm not going to punch anybody. I don't think anyways. No, I'm not going to. That was an anointing that God gave him. But we can never get so smooth and so perfect and tactical that we hinder what God wants to do in our lives. So anyways, he's in his hotel room. And the story says that in the middle of the night, that the dresser started shaking and coming across the room. He knew it was an evil spirit in there because he'd been casting out demons out of people, you know, for that week. And he came to and he looked up and he knew that evil spirit. And he says, oh, it's just you. And he said, in the name of Jesus, leave. And the shaking of the dresser stopped. He laid his head back down. Then he thought for a minute, wait a minute. He says, when I came in here, that dresser was sitting over against the wall. Put it back. And all of a sudden, the dresser began to shake and go back to where it was. That's what you have to do when the enemy attacks you. When something great is about to happen in your life, don't find it like, oh, why is this happening to me? Just speak to that thing. Knock it off. Get out of my space. Leave me alone. Get out of my home. Get out of my family. Leave. Come on, are you with me on that tonight? So I got about 13, 14, 15 minutes. I'm going to say this to you right now. There's some of you, I've talked to one that really didn't have any plans on being baptized. Obedience always brings blessing. When you do what God wants you to do, it will always be followed with a blessing. Reality of it is, do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? No. But when you obey God, there's a blessing that comes into your life. I'm telling you this right now because if you wait Sunday morning, you will get up from your seat and you will come down unprepared. You won't have clothes. But the Spirit of God, and already tonight, God is moving in that way. Wait till Sunday. There's going to be a demonstration of God's power. It's going to blow your mind. So, I'm telling you right now, Make up your mind right now so you can be prepared. Because if you're not prepared, you're going to come down anyways. And I don't care. I'll baptize you, but you'll be eating tacos. There'll be water dripping. We'll make you stand outside of the Generation Center because we don't want the carpets to get all wet. One year I baptized a guy come right up out of the audience. He had a three-piece suit on. He had the vest on, the jacket. He got right up in the water with it all. I said, "You're the best dressed guy I've ever baptized in my life." He got out of the tank. He walked right out that door. So I looked on the sign-ups. There's 22 from here, and there's 16 from Orta St. Anthony's. That's pretty amazing. So, why should you get baptized? Because if you want to follow Christ, you do what he tells you to do. You make the decision. You do what he tells you to do. It's an act of obedience. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And when you follow that act of obedience, something takes place in your life. Blessing comes into your life. I'm gonna skip over a few of these, and I don't know who's up running the words there tonight. Oh, Andrew, my main man. Listen to this in Mark chapter 1, verse 9, 10, and 11. One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. Man, I can't hardly see that. And if any of you want these notes, my email is pm@thecitychurch.com. PM, as in Pastor Marty, pm@thecitychurch.com, and I'll send these to you. And John baptized him. This is Jesus in the Jordan River. Verse 10, as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." I think the King James says, "You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." When you obey the Lord, whether it's in baptism or whatever it is, you bring great joy to the Father and to the kingdom of God. One of the greatest scriptures, and I don't even think that this is up here, Jeff, maybe you can even help with it. It's in Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to read the verses 26 through 39. This is one of the greatest stories of water baptism in the entire New Testament. It's about a man by the name of Philip, who was a servant. Philip, the Bible calls him that he was a man for all seasons. He would serve tables. He would serve tacos. And he would jump up in a chariot. Listen to this story in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near him." Jeff, you're the man up there. And Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. The man in the chariot said, "How can I?" He said, "Unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open up his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, who's the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" In verse 36, Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And I loved how the New King James and the King James says, he opened up his mouth and he began to preach Jesus to him. And as they traveled along the road, listen to this. They traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, the eunuch who was in the chariot, who Philip had gone up to and read with him what the prophet Isaiah was speaking about Jesus, he preached Jesus to him, and obviously he had a conversion in the chariot. So they're coming along, and they come upon some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" Verse 38, and he gave orders to stop the chariot. And both Philip and the eunuch went down. The word baptize means to immerse. It doesn't mean, and this is not anything against anybody that's been sprinkled or dabbed or whatever, but the word baptize means to be immersed. So the Bible says both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when, listen to this, and when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. I love that. Now that's the kind of travel that I'm looking for. Not only when the Ethiopian eunuch, who was the caretaker of the queen of Ethiopia, not only when that person obeyed God that there was a blessing to the one that was talking about and baptized him. I'm looking to be blessed on Sunday. If I'm up here and the last person gets baptized and you look up there and see me gone, I don't know, maybe God will just transport me right into the back to get my clothes on. Or he'll move me right next door and I'll have a taco in my hand the next time you see me. So Colossians 2, verses 12. This is a very important scripture. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. This is an identification of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ happening in your life. That's why it's so important that we do it together, we do it in front of people, because when you engage in that act of obedience, you are identifying with the power of the resurrected Lord. For some of you, when you come up out of that water, there's going to be new power in your life. I spoke to somebody, they said, "Well, I don't have everything together." Welcome to life. Please, if you are here tonight and you have everything together in your life, will you raise your hand right now so I can meet you later and shake and touch the hem of your garment? So, I'm going to talk about something. We had the greatest class. Is any of my Monday night peeps in here tonight? We had the greatest Monday night class, and I talked about obedience. I'm going to talk about it. I had something prepared, but Monday night it just shifted. I'm going to talk about obedience out of 1 Samuel on Monday or on Sunday, just for a few minutes. That's what I'm saying. Make up your mind tonight, because after I get done with that, one of the guys that came, his first time he was here, and I'm talking to him about it. He says, "Well, my mom doesn't want me to," he's not here, so I can talk about him, and I won't tell you who he is. He said, "My mom doesn't want me to get baptized because she said I was sprinkled when I was a child." I said, "It's okay. It's all right." And then I got talking about where Samuel, with the Spirit of the Lord, told Saul to go and wipe out all the Amalekites. Many of you know the story. I'll tell it again on Sunday. And the Bible says that he disobeyed God, and he kept some things for himself. You know, when you think about obedience to the Lord, whatever it is, whether it's in baptism or whatever it is, the reason that we don't do it is because we want to keep something for ourselves. That's why people don't give to God, because they're afraid if they give to him, He's big enough to save them from hell and make a place in heaven, but he's not big enough to provide for your financial needs. Hello? Ryan, this is all your fault tonight. You opened this up here, so we're just going with it here for a minute. But you got to obey the Lord in your life. And the Bible says when Saul kept Agag the king, and he kept the best over here, and the best, and when Samuel came to meet him, and he's walking down that hill there into the valley, Saul had wiped out many of the Amalekites, but he saved a few of the good ones. He saved the ones, you know, Agag the king. He probably saved some of the cooks. He said, I saved the fatted calves. Samuel says, what is that lowing of sheep and that wooing noise that I hear? He said, you have disobeyed the Lord. You will now be banished from being king of Israel. In fact, the Bible says that he not only was banished from being the king of Israel, but the Bible says that God was sorry that he ever put him in that place in the beginning. So anyways, I'm telling this story, and after I get done, we get done with the class, the guy that told me he jumped right up and went right over, and he signed his name right on the paper. He said, I'm going to get baptized. This is an important season in our lives. This is an important season in all of your lives. So, you all remember Sunday, one service, no 8:30, no noon service at St. Anthony's. It's going to be right here. We'll start out with worship. Bring your stuff in. Have a bag with you, something to change into. Ryan will lead some songs. I'll share a little message. I'll dismiss those that are going to get changed. We'll have some people out back that'll help men and women go in different spots. There's enough different places out there. We'll make that happen. And then when you come out, you'll come out there and there'll be a couple people and they'll have a name tag so I can make sure I say your name right when you get in the water. We'll have people help you up in here. Wear clothes. Do not wear any bathing suits. This is not a time for anybody to show off their body. Cover it up. Dark clothes. We don't want to see any see-through, nothing. Okay? And then when you're done, they'll help you out. You go right back out through there. Wipe yourself off with a towel. Maybe have some different clothes. Whatever. You put on whatever you want. Come back out. Watch the remaining people. If we've got 36 or 38 people to be baptized, we'll take a few minutes with it. But it'll be an incredible morning. And then we'll all go eat tacos, chips, salsa, hot sauce, jalapenos. Can I hear an amen in the house? Okay. Any questions? You can ask me anything. 39. Frankie, 39 it is. Good job. Anyone else? Oh, come on. There's 40. Do I hear 41? Did I hear somebody say 41? No, I'm long suffering. Any other questions? Anything? Anything at all? Even if you want to ask me something that's not about baptism. Not for you. Did you hear what she said? She said, is there going to be sour cream? My goodness. That's a great question, though. Any question at all? Anyone, you want to ask me anything? Yes. Somebody said my name? No? Yeah. Is there anybody here like that? Come here. Yeah, you got a great testimony. Come on, give this young lady a big God bless you.
Oh, boy, I can't believe it's a year ago. I'm so excited to watch, but that water bath.
Tell everybody who you are. Tell them how you came here, what happened, what brought you here, what happened when you came, and then tell them about the water baptism.
Hey, I am Melissa Vineyard. Stephen is my brother. Amy, my beautiful daughter-in-law, and Paige and Parker. I was an alcoholic, an addict. I was broken when I came here. I came out of rehab straight here to Batavia at the Sober Living House, and my beautiful brother and sister-in-law invited me here. And here I came. Here I found God. I found my place. I found a strength that I have never felt before. I was put in that water and I was baptized. My life has not been the same since that day. That feeling when I came out of the water, I can't even describe it to you. You'll have to experience it for yourself. But it's changed my life. I've been clean and sober now for 16 months. And yeah, my relationship with God is in Jesus is just over the top. I'm here and it just brings me to tears. I have so much love for this place and these people and what you have done for my life. You saved it. Jesus saved it. You saved it.
That's beautiful. We gotta get that. Thank you, Jim. So Ryan asked, if you've been baptized maybe 10, 20 years ago, maybe it didn't mean anything, or maybe you've gone through a renewal in your life. Yes, of course you can do it again. If you've been sprinkled, I'm not one of those that denigrate what someone else has done or gone through, but this is for you, okay? Any other questions? Anything? Yes, honey. My wife says, you don't hold anybody under, only Sarah Hines. No, I don't hold. We've never left anybody in the tank, never. I won't hold you under too long either, Joe Buckley. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll. Anything else? Anyone else? You can, again, if you want these notes, there's quite a bit in there. PM@thecitychurch.com. If you want any of my notes at any time, write my email down. I'll send you anything that I have. And help you with that, okay? I thank you, Lord, for what you've done tonight, what your plans are for your people this weekend. You're changing lives, and we're so grateful for that. Thank you, Lord, for each one that is here tonight. May the fellowship in this house continue to grow sweeter together. Thank you for each life that is here. In Jesus' name, amen. Do I hear 41?